I want to look this afternoon at a pair of mitzvos. Typically, we look at a mitzvah in the parsha. This week, there are two parshas, Parsha Shmini and Parsha's Parah, the beginning of Parsha's Chukas. I want to take a look at a pairing of mitzvah Kuf Nun Tes drawn from Parsha Shmini, together with mitzvah Shin Tzadi Zayin, 159. And 397. And Parsha Shmini, much of the end of Parsha Shmini is dedicated to halachas of kashrus and to halachas of tuma. Now, the truth is, even discussing kashrus, the Torah often uses the term tameh or tahar. They talk about non kosher species as being behemoth tameya or dag tameh, and a kosher species as being a behemoth tahora or a dag tahar. But beyond the halachas of kashrus, what we can and cannot eat, the end of Shmini also addresses what Chazal would refer to as tuma and tahara, in addition to what the Chumash refers to as tuma and tahara, to be tame, to be impure or to be pure, to become an ava tuma, rishon tuma. There are different items the Torah describes in this week's sedra, over the next couple of sedras, tazria v'tzora, different people or different items which are tame because of who or what they are. Individual might be a mitzora because he has tzara, so he's tame because he is a mitzora. Meat from an animal that died without proper shechita is a source of tame. It is tame in and of itself because it is besar nevela, nevela meat. And there are vos ha-tuma, sources of tuma that then can transmit that status of tuma to other items as well. If food or drink, people or devices, kalim, come in contact with an ava tuma, so the tuma could be transmitted, it could be conducted to other items as well. When we look at the rules of tuma and tahara, so it can be difficult to figure out why certain things are tuma, why certain things are tamei in and of themselves, or avos ha-tumah, and what the status is exactly that gets transmitted. And the truth is that this topic of tumah is the topic as well of Parshas Parah. We have a din d'rabbanan. We have a din d'rabbanan in the week before Parshas HaChodesh to read Parshas Parah, to read the psukim beginning of Parshas Chukas, that describe the process of removing tumas meis, removing tuma that's a result of contact with a corpse. And that involves the red cow. The para aduma is one of the main ingredients in the recipe of removing tuma from a person or an item that received tumas meis. And that was part of the preparation for Pesach, was to make sure one was tahar so that one could enter Yerushalayim, possibly enter the Beis HaMikdash, and certainly to consume the Korban Pesach. So let's take a look together at the Sefer Chinuch, how he approaches the question of Tumah in general and Tumas Meis in particular. Misharashi HaMitzvah, let's begin with Mitzvah Kuf Nun Tes. The Mitzvah of the Tumas Shmona Shratzen. Seven small creatures, some rodents, some other sorts of small animals, that when they die, are sources of tumah or avos ha-tumah. So mitzvah kuf nun tes, lehiyos shmona shratzim temeim u'mitamim. The corpses of these eight small creatures, one of which is a mouse, one is probably a turtle, and then others, they are temeim u'mitamim. They are tameh, and they also are sources of tumah. They can transmit tumah to other items. Well, a pasuk in, a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, the Torah lists the eight different species which are classified as shratzim. Misharasha ha-mitzvah. Let's try to see what we can do with the shorish. What are some of the root ideas that underlie this din? So he actually spends less time on the shorish of the mitzvah, far more time on the introduction. Hakdama. He writes, lo yispat, lo yisapei kol mi sheyesh bodeya. Anyone who's a thinking why self-reflecting person, any self-reflective person will not doubt, will know clearly, if you think about it rationally, you realize no human being has understood everything. No human being has a full understanding of everything there is to know. I feel al Moshe Rabbeinu al Vashalom Amr Zechram Baruch. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest level of nevuah of any human being. Chazal Kama Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Chamishim Shari Binahein. There are 50 gates of understanding, 50 levels or fields of wisdom. Kula Nimshu al Moshe Chutz Me'echad. All were given over to Moshe, all were handed to Moshe, but one. You don't know exactly what Shari Bina are. Perhaps the ones initiated to Kabbalah, one can have a greater understanding. But certainly, part of what Chazal is trying to capture is even Moshe Rabbeinu, who knew so much, but didn't know everything. Couldn't make sense of everything. There was something that was beyond them. And Shlomo HaMelech, Hechacham. Shlomo HaMelech is a paradigm, an archetype of wisdom. And he says about himself in Koheles, Amarti Echkema Vehi Rechokim Meni. I thought that I could conquer wisdom, but some of it remains beyond me. A pasuk that Chazal sometimes apply specifically to Paradum, which we'll get to soon. Koheles episode, that's number one. Any thoughtful person will recognize that no human being understands everything. An infinite creator, finite creatures, there is necessarily a limit to how much we can understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about his moral and physical creations. V'chein, lo yisapei kol mi sheshol moch b'kakado. Furthermore, not only are we finite and therefore there will necessarily be things we don't understand, but any thoughtful person, anyone with a brain in his skull, as the Sefer Chinuch puts it so colorfully, will realize, Hashem hu av hachma, u'me'eto nimtzeis, bo nichlelas kula, the source of all wisdom and ideas, ultimately, are Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we believe, is the creator of the entire universe. Not only physically all the matter and energy in the universe, Kadosh Baruch Hu created all ideas and concepts and morality. Ultimately, everything is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is the father and the source and of all ideas, and he includes all ideas. He ain shum safi gamkin. And point number three, in addition to recognizing that all wisdom ultimately is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he subsumes it all and he supersedes it all, and recognizing that we, as creatures, will be able to understand much, but not everything. Number three is, in terms of how we deal with that gap, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and we don't. So the things we don't know, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of it, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and he wants to be, he's interested in beneficence. He's interested in doing good for us. So what emerges from the three ideas is there's much that we can understand. And when there are things that are beyond our ken, so we recognize that we're necessarily limited humans, we may not understand the details, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back. The things we don't understand, and specifically, obviously, he's talking about the world of Sharashe HaMitzvahs, Tamei HaMitzvahs, there'll be things we can understand. That's the overall thrust of this aspect of Sefer Chinuch, is to seek to find the sense, to make sense of the mitzvahs as much as we can. But we recognize it's going to be a limited enterprise. There'll always be more than what we discover. What we don't discover, so we'll say, we may not know, but we know whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind that we haven't yet figured out is definitely L'tov HaSeinu. So now let's continue to learn the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. With these three axioms in mind, Sefer HaChinuch continues to write, Al kein kasher nasig b'chochma seinu min ha-mitzvos, l'da'as ha-to'a lo's ha-magi'a l'anu b'han, nismech bo. When we come across a mitzvah and we succeed in applying our intellectual power and capacity to make sense, to discover some of the ideas, some of the outputs of the mitzvah, to discover some of how the mitzvah impacts us, we're incredibly happy. Nismachpo. Kasher eina nachnu masigim mehen b'chachmaseinu. Hatoeles shalanu b'hen. When we do not succeed in that process of intellectual discovery, when we aren't able to figure out how does this mitzvah benefit us, how does this mitzvah shape us, how does this mitzvah raise us, when we're not able to figure that out, yesh lanu lachshava kal ponim, we can still recognize ki bi yisrod hachachma shel Hashem al kol bria, this lies in that gap, in that area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and we don't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has objectives. Yada ha-tawel se-shar lanu ba'osu mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may not know the reason for the mitzvah. That doesn't mean there is no reason. Human beings are necessarily limited. There are things we don't understand. Okay, so we haven't yet figured it out. We haven't cracked the code. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something in mind and something that is letov ha-sein. U'kvar ho di'unu zichronim levracha. Lama lo no da'ata b'chol mitzvahs. And he says, Chazal even stressed that ironically, there are some mitzvahs whose objective we're not capable of discovering, but we can appreciate the objective in that, the value in the fact that some mitzvahs don't have recognizable tam. It's fascinating. How come we don't know every time of mitzvah? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu organize it? There'll be time of mitzvahs that are beyond us. This is a Gemara. Sometimes knowing time mitzvahs could be problematic. Sometimes knowing time mitzvahs, even though it should be a growth point for us, it could be counterproductive. Hey, the Uriah, Shlosha or Shnayim, our Gemara has. Two or three mitzvahs, the Gemara presents as two, but Sefer Chinuch points is really a total of three mitzvahs. Where the reason is laid out in Chumash, v'nichshol b'hem gadol ha'olam, when the great people of the world, Shaul HaMelech, fell in. Three different lavin, specifically, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, three different isurim apply particularly to kings. Not to have an excessive stable of horses, not to have an excessive number of wives, not to have an excessive amount of money. The Torah says all these could be very corrosive to the king. And Shlomo Melech thought that he could violate these dinim because the reasons wouldn't apply to him, because he was safe, there was no risk, and he violated the din, which was inherently wrong. And even had he not, had they not been risky, he still is not allowed to violate the din, even if the Tam HaMikra doesn't apply. And in fact, he did fall in. The size of his harem was very corrosive to Shlomo, as the Pesukim and Sefer Melachim tell us. And the excessive size of his stable led him back to Mitzrayim. The excessive amount of money that he amassed led to spiritual regression. So Ramchal says, Hevichnev says, fascinating. Kadosh Baruch Hu often gives us opportunity to understand the reasons for mitzvahs. But there is a risk. And sometimes knowing the reasons for mitzvahs is counterproductive. It sounds as though, very subtly, he's telling us a subtle chiddush to say for Echemach here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin's code said, look, here are three cases where the Torah did tell us the reason, and it backfired. Now, he's saying, but that tells me that sometimes the Torah tells us what the reasons are. Often the Torah doesn't tell us, but we can figure it out. Sometimes the Torah doesn't tell us, and we can't even figure out. And that's apparently to create that space. That's because it is important to have mitzvahs where the reasons aren't known. It keeps us in check. I think that's what he's saying. The fact that there are some mitzvahs whose reason is unknown, and maybe it tempers how we look at the mitzvahs whose reasons we have figured out. It'll help us to avoid the mistake of Shlomo HaMelech. It will help us to understand, yes, we have reasons. Yes, knowing the reasons for most of the mitzvahs enables us to appreciate those mitzvahs, to appreciate the profundity of the mitzvah. Maybe understanding how the mitzvah could shape us will help
the mitzvah, help us to shape ourselves more through the mitzvah. But at the same time, there need to be mitzvahs, it sounds like he's saying, there need to be mitzvahs where we recognize we don't know the reason, because we need to recognize that things are beyond us. We need to recognize that even by those mitzvahs whose reasons we do know, we know some reasons, but not everything. So we won't, it should help us avoid the Nisayon or Shlomo. It should help us avoid making the assumption that, well, I know the reasons, so I can take liberties with whether I'll keep the mitzvah or not. No. We realize some mitzvahs are entirely beyond us, even the Rova mitzvahs, where we do know some reasons, but there's more. And that's what he continues to say in the next paragraph. He said, you might ask, I just said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Gemara Sanhedrin says, by telling us reasons and mitzvahs, it backfired. And we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes chooses to hide the reasons and mitzvahs. And I have the chutzpah, Sefer Chinuch writes. You might ask, so I'm a mechutzef. I have the gall. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to hide the reasons for mitzvahs. And I'm discussing it with young people, with nine na'arim. Sefer Chinuch, as we've seen in the past, is ostensibly written for his son and his son's friends. He says, no, that's not Akasha. That Gemara in Sanhedrin about Shlomo HaMelech, that doesn't mean that we should never engage at all in searching for Tam HaMitzvahs. No. Kvar kidemuni rabos heledaber behen kama dvarim b'midrashim v'chomos achayim altsad pshatan. My Rebbeim and early generations have already spent plenty of time working on Tam HaMitzvahs. You'll find it in midrashim. Sometimes you'll find approach al derech pshat. It says there's plenty. There's plenty. It says you have a pinister as well. There are many levels at which earlier chachamim, earlier rishonim, gaonim, even sometimes you'll find in Chazal, they'll talk about the reason for a particular mitzvah. You may find approach al derech pshat, al derech drash, al derech sod. Near the end of the paragraph, he writes, in ro'i l'seis halav b'zeh asham. We're not going to fault Chazal or the earlier Gaonim and Rishonim for seeking out the Tamim. It says, no, Rak Levar Cholas, Yir L'Shevach, Pasher Husham. We see from the earlier generations that the search for Tamim Mitzvahs is a laudable, appropriate thing. So I believe what the balance of Sefer Chinuch is striking is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes choose to make the reasons more elusive. And that helps us to maintain the right balance of seeking to understand and seeking to find meaningfulness in our practice of halacha, while at the same time understanding that we need to practice and we need to keep the din even when we don't understand. Either when we don't understand the reasons for a particular mitzvah, or we don't understand why a particular mitzvah or lo saseh should apply in this particular context, or maybe even more broadly, to follow Ritzon Hashem, even when we don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing generally. Difficult things are happening in my life. I don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this to me. I need to have the strength to be able to say, I don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, and yet I will still follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of me, because while greater meaningfulness is certainly ideal, it is not a prerequisite for my halachic practice. My halachic practice is enhanced by understanding Ribbon Shalom, by feeling close to Ribbon Shalom, and by understanding the reasons for mitzvahs. My halachic performance is enhanced by understanding, but it can never depend on understanding. I need to practice halacha even when I don't understand. And he says, with this hakadama, acharei hakadama seinu zos, shechachmas hakel, God la kol chachma, that recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom and insight is infinite and is far greater than any human insight. Lo yitzaved davar rak l'tava lanu l'tavas gedola, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu is beneficent, and if he's expecting us to act in a certain way, it's ultimately tava senu. So then, ein lo nu kusha v'lo she'ela b'chol Yisrael ma'achalos rachokas hatuma. Then we're no longer bothered by every detail of kashrus or of tuma, b'chol asher lo yeh ha-toelos lanu yodua umusag b'chakira. Whatever is not available, accessible, knowable through analysis, okay. That there would, we would expect that there would be details that are beyond our ken. Yadanu be'emeshah kol l'tov. We know it's still in principle that it's l'tov aseinu. And then he goes on to say, you shouldn't be surprised at the notion that avoiding tumah is helpful to us. You shouldn't be surprised at the notion that engaging with tumah could be corrosive to one's neshama. He says that's a line that Chazal have based on a pasuk in this week's parsha. V'nitmesem bam. Pasuk says you will become tameh through contact with these items. The aleph is missing, so it's v'nitamtem ksiv. It sounds like timtum, being closed up. Your inside, your inner life, your pnimius, your neshama is going to be somehow stopped up by engagement with tumah. By engagement with tumah. And he goes on to say that you shouldn't be surprised that the mind is impacted by physical contact. My fingers touch a dead mouse, so that impacts my neshama, that impacts my mind. He says, absolutely. Shitufa shel nefesh im haguf yera lekin al kalpanim. Even though there are different aspects to human being, there's a physical aspect, the mental aspect, the spiritual aspect, but we are, Kadosh Baruch Hu fused the different aspects of human being into one. We are, human beings are a unique fusion of Gashmias and Ruchnias. We human beings, we don't fully appreciate what it means to have a neshama. Okay? But we understand that we are a fusion of body and soul, and that's why we may not fully understand the details of the dynamic, but still, in concept, the contours of the idea, it's sensible, it's reasonable that there could be physical contact. Walking into a room or touching an item could transmit tumah in a way that impacts us metaphysically, that impacts our minds, that impacts our neshamos. And he says, and with this we close, one final paragraph. Havein ze vidaehu. He says, until we learn very deeply to appreciate the neshama, so it's going to be hard to make other details, but the concept we have, kibonim tzeketzas tshuva al kol shorash shehamitzvahs hatumah v'atahara, this notion that human beings are a fusion of body and soul, and therefore physical contact with physical dvar hametamim could ultimately impact us in intangible ways as well, in spiritual or mental, emotional ways as well. So that way gives you the beginning of a response to understanding the different mitzvahs of Tumah Tahara. Anasher kemat yeh masveh panenu bechidush paraduma. He says, and that's why paraduma is ironically so difficult. And this is a point that he makes at greater length in Mitzvah Shin Sadi Zayin, the first mitzvah of Parshas Chukas, where he says, when Chazal talk about paraduma being so hard to understand, it's not that it's such an unusual item, the red cow. That, okay, there are different tumas, and we don't fully understand the dynamic of different tumas and why a particular recipe is the cure for a particular tumah. What's really difficult to understand, what's really paradoxical, is the fact that the same item works in opposite ways. While the paraduma is a metahir temeim, you use it to remove the tumah from a temeis, those who work with it become tameh. It's metahir temeim, it's metameh tahorim. He writes at length in Mitzvah Shin Tzadi Zayin, that's what's really difficult to understand. And that's what he says very briefly here. That beginning to appreciate the overall dynamic of Tumah and Tahara, and there are certain things which are injurious to us, to our pnimius, and so even physical contact with them can impact our neshama, then it should all be binary. Certain things are positive and certain things are negative. And that's why paraduma is so paradoxical. Metama hator, umtaheres hatame. It take someone tar and make some tameh while taking someone tameh and making tar, that really creates the masva al panina. That really masks the face of the whole issue. It blindfolds us in the world of paraduma. And he closes, Gam Sham Narich Binyana Bain Be'ez Hashem, in Shinsai Zayin, who also talks about it. Likabel Sachar Biyagilim Sadir Chafetz. And we're going to receive reward in the work of trying to make sense of it. Now, the truth is, in Mitzvah Shinsai Zayin, he really raises the question more than giving an answer. He has a line that the desire to become close, the chibas hakodesh, is what moves the pen to write. So what does this all mean? He's not giving an answer. So, I mean, you're going to work on lekabel schar biyegia. You'll get schar for the work, limitso devei chayvus, and seeking to understand the reasons for it. So it could be this takes us back to where we began, that there is value. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some specific reasons in mind for paraduma, which we don't know. Whatever the reasons are. But there is, even if we can't find the reasons for paraduma, there's a value in our embracing the fact that we don't know the reasons. The very embrace of the fact that there are things that are beyond us give greater power and greater qualification to all the other mitzvahs we do know the reasons. It gives us a sense of the grandeur of having a peek into the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rationale, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world. At the same time, also reminds us that even when we do know the reasons, that's only a piece of the puzzle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at a far greater picture than we are, and we treasure and cherish every bit of meaningfulness in the mitzvahs, while at the same time understanding that the ultimate full picture of meaningfulness is beyond what we see. And that is why, as we said before, we practice and we keep halacha even when we don't fully or at all understand the why. The what still has to be in place. Have a marvelous day, Rabbi Osei. Thank you so much for calling in.